It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Once again, we're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in the 8th chapter at verse 31. And so please that you would turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And that's where we'll start the study today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And there's many, many studies, our Constitution, the Plan of Salvation. Please that you would visit it and enjoy it. And if you'd like to email us, you can email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. So please, I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we're going to begin reading once again, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the end of the 8th chapter. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today. We can come together and enjoy your presence. We thank you for your leadership. We thank you that the Spirit of God lives within our hearts as believers, will guide and lead us through your precious word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to open your word and enjoy it today. Please, those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, they have never come to the cross, that today they will come to the cross of Calvary, because your Spirit, Father, will lead them to the need of salvation, knowing that they're lost and dying in their sin, needing a Savior. Please, dear Lord, today would be the day that they would trust in you and walk with you each day, and then begin that wonderful life. You know, life begins. We don't have to wait till after we've died and then have eternal life. Eternal life begins the very second that we say, yes, Lord Jesus, please forgive me and come into my heart and save me. You died on the cross for me. Save me, dear Lord. And He will. That prayer is so simple and so easy. Please that you call upon the Lord Jesus today for salvation. Father, guide and lead us now. Guide us through this study, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so wonderful to be able to come together and enjoy the time and study in the Word. And once again, now we're in the 8th chapter. We had a wonderful time last time we were together. If you missed it, you could go to the website and all these studies are present. You can go to Romans and find the 8th chapter and go back and look at the 28th, 29th, 30th verse because we took care of the foreknowledge of God, the word predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son. We really poured through that last time we were together, had a great time. I hope that you were able to hear and understand, because it is very simple, and it leads right to this verse 31, because with all this in place, with God's protection to those that come by faith, and just a little bit of review so that you can catch up here if you missed last week, is that foreknow in verse 29 is the word. It is everything to this text, because God does not predestine some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. He desires that all be saved. In his foreknowledge, he knows who is going to choose and come by faith to the Lord Jesus and who is not. And so you see, it's not that he has predestined the person to death, to hell. It is that he knows those that are going to reject him. And everything leads from there. It all comes to God's foreknowledge, being able to know the future. You see, he is God. He knows the future. He knows the past. He does not control that future as far as saying that I am not going to allow him to be saved, because he desires all be saved. But he does realize, as when he was walking on this earth, that many, many reject him. And so please, that you would come by faith to Jesus. You have that opportunity, the whosoever will. And yes, God does know whether you will or will not, but that doesn't take away the whosoever. So please, that you trust in Jesus today. You look to the Lord Jesus today. Please, I beg you that you do that. And all this leads up then to this question at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? This great promise of what God is going to give me when I come to him. He is going to set before me a plan, and he's going to give me all the tools and all the power. He's going to give me everything. Oh, it's wonderful, just wonderful. So we need to realize how great that is. And so what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, my dear friend, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, know that God is on your side, that he has saved you, and he has set you in the path of righteousness to walk after him. And what a gift he has given us. And then who possibly could be against us? No one, because you see, God has set before us the way of life. Please, trust in him. Walk with him today. What a wonderful promise that we have. And so when we look at that 31st verse, what shall we then say? There's nothing to say. God's for me. God is on my side. God is keeping me. God is protecting me. It's such a joy. What's left? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It just continues to move forwards. He that spared not his own son, that God the Father gave his son, gave him as a gift to me. But that price was an awful price, because Jesus had to die on the cross. He was crucified and died on the cross for me. He was perfect. He fulfilled the law in every way. He was God. He never sinned. There was no reason for him to go to the cross for himself. It was all for me. It was for you. And so please trust in him today. What a joy to walk with the Lord Jesus. And once again, in verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Creator of the world, the Savior of the world is on my side. What else can I ask for? What a wonderful, wonderful gift, the gift of salvation. And then again, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything that we need, God will give us. And it begins with that first gift, the gift of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts. And my, with such a great gift as that, everything else is small compared with that great gift, the gift of salvation. And it begins there. So as we head in the opening prayer, please, that you trust in Jesus today, that you come to Him today and begin life as God gives us eternal life. He gives it to us. Please don't choose eternal death. As those words earlier, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He glorified. And then we're back to that 31st verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, it's a joy to be a child of God. It's a joy to be a Christian, a real Christian. I'm not talking about somebody that just goes to church and acts religious. And so many places today have just accomplished that. They have deceived so many people. We have all these mega churches and all these places that they call a place of worship, and yet it's a place of entertainment. Get down to the local church, a small body of believers that studies the Word of God verse by verse. They come together on Sunday morning for Sunday school and for Sunday night for church and the preaching message, and then a time of fellowship. And once again, we come together midweek to fellowship together. And there is a shepherd that is here to take care of. And there should be a shepherd in every one of these small local churches. You sing those old beautiful hymns and you stick with the old King James Bible. You don't leave it. There's so much that we need to stay with. And it's not tradition. It's the power of the Word of God that comes from doing those things. And I choose to do that, and I hope that you do too. If you've decided to look another way, I ask that you'll turn from that way and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and truly be born again and begin to walk with Him and fellowship with Him, because it is His shed blood that saved you. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that verse 32 just confirms it. He that spared not His Son, God the Father gave everything. He delivered Him up for us all. And again, that's the greatest gift, but it doesn't end there. He gives me peace, and He gives me joy, and He gives me wisdom. All these things are gifts from God. He gives me everything that I need. Oh, I just can't thank and praise my God enough. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've missed that. And so please that you call upon Him. And then in verse 33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. God's paid it all. God the Father did it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That old devil, he just keeps pointing his finger and just keeps making judgment calls and condemning and his own followers, so many people, they condemn and criticize it. Oh, you can't stay with that old Bible. Oh, you've got to have that good old music in you. Get rid of those old hymns. Oh, my friend, never. Never. Those old hymns that speak to the heart, they prepare our hearts for the study of the Word of God. They have such a beautiful message in them. And then we open up the Word of God and we stay with, again, that beautiful King James, old King James Bible, and just stay with it and study it. And if you have decided that you don't believe that anymore, I ask you that you search your heart, because you're sure missing a blessing. You're missing a blessing. The things that this scripture text here is telling us, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? When you have come by faith to Jesus and you're born again, you're His. He gives you the greatest gift, which is salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He also gives us many, many gifts. Constantly He is laying gifts, and He gives me so much wisdom, and He gives me so much strength. He gives me physical strength. He gives me great spiritual strength. And it's because God comes through these words with power and strength. That's what comes through the Word of God. If you stay with the Word, don't join some country club that preaches a few verses of Scripture and tickles your ears. And you say, oh, that felt good. Let the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, convict your heart and tug on those heartstrings and bring you to a place of understanding the Word of God and the joy and the power. Oh, don't miss it. Don't be tricked and duped, because so many are today. So many are today. It's a sad, sad day today, the condition that the church is in. And when I use that word church, I use that very liberally, because the church is only born-again believers. And many of these places that call themselves churches is no church at all. No church at all. Because there's just maybe a handful, if any, that are truly born again, that you've come by faith. Trust in Jesus today. Make the right decision and get to a place that preaches the truth, the Word of God. Will it be a big auditorium? Will it be packed with people? No. Because folks don't want the truth. We got the truth here. There are many places that preach the truth. But you're going to find that most of those places, all those places, are going to be small groups of people, because as a whole, the world does not want. You want your church full. You preach the Word of God, and if God chooses to fill it, He'll fill it. But today's world and today's people, they want their ears tickled. That's the places that are full. That's the places that have a crowd. The places that have a small group of believers, they're the ones that are getting the blessing, understanding the Word of God, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. It is God that justified. He's the one that does the work. It's not some program. It's not some place that, again, tickles your ears. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who is that condemneth? God cannot condemn us, because He's making intercession for us. You cannot do both. You can't condemn and make intercession. He's making intercession on our behalf. He's not condemning us before God the Father. He's lifting us up before God the Father, making intercession. Our advocate does not condemn us. He makes intercession for us. Please understand that. Who is it that condemneth? It's not God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus is interceding on your behalf to the Father. Be a part of that. Don't be a part of some religious group that is just acting religious. It's all about a personal relationship with Jesus. A personal relationship with a real person. And that person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He took on the body of a man. He has a physical body because he came out of that grave glorified. It's a personal relationship with a person. It's not a religion. It's not about some program. And you see, if you're doing anything besides praising and honoring and learning about that person, you want to know all about that person, so that you can praise Him and honor Him with every breath that you take. The only way you're going to do that is to open up that precious book, that old King James Bible. The only way you're going to do that is singing those old beautiful hymns. Everything else is a waste of time. So I beg you that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It surely isn't God, because it is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, has his glorified body, who is even at the right hand, who also maketh intercession for us. So please, look to the gospel of Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus, and He will save you, and He will keep you, and it'll be a joy every day. Verse 35 continues, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? It is Christ's love to us, not ours to Him. You see, He has made the promise that if we come by faith to Him, He will save us, He will keep us. It's God's promise. So the love of Christ, again, is Christ's love to us, not ours to Him. So the day that we don't feel like we're a Christian, God keeps us. God holds us. We're saved. We're saved through eternity. The scripture has some terms here. It says, you know, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine? What can separate us from God? Be convinced that God's love will never change. Be convinced of that. Know that. That God's love will never change. It's God's love towards us. He died on the cross to save us. If we come by faith to Him, we then are a part of that. He died for all the world. But you have to come and claim that gift of salvation, that gift that He shed His blood on Calvary. He died for you, and all your sins are taken away. It's a finished work. But we need to come and call upon Him. Once we do that, then His love holds us and keeps us, and it never changes. That word tribulation means troubled, pursued, means burdened, pressured, tribulation, tried, tested. Shall tribulation? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The answer is no. Shall distress? The word distress is anguish. We may find ourselves in great distress of soul, spirit, or body. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will distress? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Because you see, it's not me, it's God. God's made this agreement. And when I came by faith, it closed it. It's finished. What a joy. How about persecution? Being pursued. We may be persecuted beyond any reason. I mean, beyond any limits that we just can't tolerate. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall persecution? No. No. What a joy to be a child of God, to know no matter what happens, our God keeps us. Our God saves us. It doesn't matter if we're in a terrible time of tribulation. It doesn't matter if we're in the worst level of distress. It doesn't matter if we're persecuted beyond our limits. It doesn't matter, because our God is keeping us. It's His promise. It's His love. It's a love that never changes. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution. How about famine? How about famine, being destitute with great hunger? We may suffer famine until it seems like that you know, you can see our bones and almost see through us. Will that separate us from the love of Christ? No, that will not separate us from the love of Christ, because the answer is nothing can separate us from the love of Christ? How about nakedness? If we get to the place that we have nothing, we have nothing, the answer is no. That will not separate us from the love of Christ. And that love there is the love that's been purchased by His Son through His Son, the Lord Jesus. It's the salvation we've talked about. It's the personal relationship we're talking about. And it is a promise that He makes. When we come by faith to Him, then He saves us. He keeps us. Now, we should desire to know Him. And that's what I'm talking about, studying the Word of God and not being taken up by some of these places that, you know, I'm sorry, it's just nothing different than playing church. I'm not playing church. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ. And because I have that relationship, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. Christ's love is, He sent His own Son. Christ's love cannot be separated from me because it's God that's keeping it. It's God that is holding it. It is unchangeable. What a joy. What a joy. How about peril? How about peril? Danger. There may be great danger that would come upon us. And the sword is right behind that in the 35th verse there of chapter 8 of Romans. That word sword, we may die by the sword. We may have strife. It may, the knife, it says, and even part of judicial punishment. All those things may come. But none can separate us from the love of God because it's God's love towards us. It's not that we don't feel like it today. Being a child of God is not a feeling. Being a child of God is being a part of a relationship that is kept by God. It's kept by God. There's times, you know, I'm sure as you were a youth and you were a child that you didn't feel like that you were a part of the family. Something happened. And you thought you'd been deserted or rejected. You're not part of the family, but you're still part of the family. Because no matter how you feel, your dad's still your dad, your mom's still your mom. And in the case of our salvation through the Lord Jesus, different than our mother and our father, that they're not perfect. They make mistakes. But God the Father doesn't. And His love is perfect. And He keeps and He has confirmed that with us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can. It doesn't matter whether it's tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword. Nothing. You know, the condition that we're in looks here in verse 36, and this is a quote from Psalms 44:22. It says, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, butchered by the sword, fed to the lions, burned at the stake." Those are things that physically happened. But we are still never separated, no matter what the world tries to do to us. That old devil hates us and the world hates us. But the joy that is in my heart because Jesus loves me and His love can never be separated from me because it is not something I am doing. It's something that God takes care of. And Him being perfect, Him never changing, He's the one that keeps us and holds us. It's such a joy to be a child of God. It's such a joy. And this quote again is from Psalms 44:22. "For thy sake we are killed." You see, they hated Christ. The world hates God. All you have to do is listen today. Oh, they hate what the Word of God stands for. They hate for what's in the Word of God. They're out to destroy it. But that's not going to separate me from the love of God every day. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?